Welcome to the Woodridge Baptist Church podcast. For more information about what's happening in the life of our church, visit our website at www.woodridge.org. Enjoy the podcast.
Now, are you ready for the second part of Tis the Season? Let me ask you a question. Present shopping done? Yes, no? Mixed bag. House decorated? Yes or no? Somewhat. Mixed bag. All right. Have you ever maybe missed the point? There was a guy that showed up, and he showed up late for work. He was supposed to be at work about 8 in the morning. He comes walking in, and the boss looks at him, and he says, "What in the world? You should have been here 30 minutes ago." And the guy goes, "Well, what happened 30 minutes ago?" Have you ever missed the point? The boss was trying to call him out for something, and he totally whiffs. There was a police officer. And police officer pulls a guy over. And when he pulls him over, he looks in his car and he sees that the guy has an endangered penguin in his car. Have you ever heard of something like that? But he pulled an endangered penguin is in the car. And he says, you can't have this here. I mean, endangered penguins aren't allowed to be in your car. You need to take this thing to the zoo. And the guy was like, okay. And so the next week, the guy's traveling down the road. The same guy pulls, he gets pulled over by the same cop. And the cop looks at him, and he looks in the back seat. He still sees the penguin back there. He's like, "Dude, I pulled you over a week ago, and I told you I told you to take it to the zoo." He said, "I did. This week, we're going to the beach." Have you ever had somebody miss the point? All right, is that enough dad jokes for the day? Dad jokes are the best. I don't care who you are. Those are the best. All right, so why am I giving you these jokes? Well, the reason that I'm giving you these jokes is because it reminds me of another joke. There was a man, he calls 911, and he says, "My wife's in labor, and we don't know what to do. Can you help us out?" And the person says, "Okay, we need you just to stay calm. Is this the first child?" And he says, "No, I'm the husband." All right, those were all free of charge on the front end. Okay, how about this? Have you ever missed the point of something? Let's be honest. We actually have all missed the point of something somewhere in our life. We don't want to miss the point of Christmas, though, do we? We really don't. And we have this beautiful reflection in 1 John chapter 1 that will help us center back in on the significance and the power and the meaning of Christmas. And so turn there. It comes from a guy named John. John was a guy that really knew Jesus well. And he knew him well in a number of ways. Some scholars think that John was a relative of Jesus. We're not sure, but you can make the case, possibly a relative of Jesus. What we do know is that he was an eyewitness to Jesus' life, and he was an eyewitness to Jesus' ministry. And the reason that's important is because you could go to this guy and say, "Hey, tell me some of the stuff that you saw. Tell me some of the things that you saw Jesus do. Tell me some of the things that you heard Jesus say." He was also the guy that's known for laying his head on the chest of Jesus. And you get this beautiful story in 1 John chapter 1, something that he's trying to relay to an early group of believers to prompt them on in growing in maturity in their faith. Because John was really close to him, and not just physically close to him. There were some people that were physically very close to Jesus, but spiritually very far away from him. He was connected to him physically. He was connected to Jesus emotionally. He was connected to Jesus deeply spiritually. He knew Jesus really well. And so when he writes this, the reason that he writes this is he wants us to take his experience and he wants us to make it our own. He wants you to experience the closeness with Jesus that he got to experience himself. Here's a question. Have you ever known a married couple? Don't look at each other, by the way. Yes. Have you ever known a married couple that were legally married, but they really weren't very close to each other? Now, on the one hand, you know that they had a relationship. There was a legal relationship, if nothing else. They were legally married. But when you look, there wasn't any intimacy there. They weren't thinking through life together. They weren't living life together. They weren't planning life together. On the one hand, you could say this couple has a relationship, but what you wouldn't say is that they have intimacy or fellowship with each other. The whole reason that John is writing what he is writing is so that you can grow together in your intimacy and fellowship with Jesus. That's what he wants for you. He didn't want Christians to live a life not fully experiencing the eternal life that they already have. This is a part of what we believe about the kingdom of God. It's not just something that I hope to participate in one day. It's something that I hope to participate in today. And some of us just kind of have a disconnection with Jesus. He calls the people throughout 1 John, he calls them little children. And he's not trying to insult them. Instead, he's trying to identify them. That when he calls them little children, what he's basically saying is, look, I already know that you're in the fold, so to speak, right? You're a child of God. It's a reference that they belong to the family of God. And so they were in the family, but you know, they weren't necessarily enjoying the family that they were a part of. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about when I say that. It's one thing to be joined in a way. It's another thing to enjoy what you're joined to. And John says, I want you to enjoy the fullness of the possibility of this relationship that you can have in Jesus. And that's why in 1 John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, he says this. He says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We've seen it. We testify to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may also have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. Notice John does pull a little bit of an authority card there, right? Did you see it? He says, the things that we have seen. So he pulls some authority here. If you want to know what happened, all you got to do is come and talk to us because we walked with the man. We're going to tell you what we saw. We saw it with our eyes. We touched it with our hands. Now that's pretty powerful. I mean, if you want to get the story, you know, a part of history, something that people are saying actually happened, where would you go? I don't know about you, but I would go to the people that were there. And so he's inviting people to come in and to talk with him about what he experienced in the ministry of Jesus. And since they're believers, they already have a relationship, sort of. They have a relationship with Jesus. But again, you can have a relationship with Jesus and be lacking fellowship with Jesus. Is that you this morning? I mean, when you lack fellowship with Jesus, what John is trying to say is you will miss the joy of Jesus. Lacking fellowship means lacking joy. He says, and I want you to have both, but it comes in a specific order. He's not asking something like this. Do you have a relationship with Jesus? That's not enough for him. He's asking, do you have a connection with him? Do you have fellowship with him? And then there's an inevitable fruit that will result from that. You will have joy if you do. That's what he's saying. So when he uses this word fellowship, what is he really trying to say? I think it's this. Since it's a theme from the book, and it comes from the Greek word koinonia, it means to have a close association involving mutual interests and sharing. Did you notice that? It's a close association that involves mutual interests and sharing. Think about the early church. Think about the church that was coming right on the coattails of the life of Jesus. And what were they known for? Well, one, they were known for being persecuted, right? So there's that. But they were also known for a number of things. The book of Acts says that they would even sell the things that they had so that they could pool the resources together. Because you know what? They didn't have a lot of help from the outside world. They had none. The outside world was actually conspiring against them. So in order to take care of one another, they would give away and sell things that were not of eternal value so that they could invest in and provide for each other. They were known for their love for each other. They were known for their sacrifice for each other. You see this? If you look at the book of Acts, in the first five, all of the sermons in the first five chapters of the book of Acts are all about the resurrection of Jesus, all of them. There are sermons in chapter 10 about the resurrection of Jesus. What were they doing? They were going and telling people is what they were doing. So they had a close fellowship with each other, and then they had sharing. It was there. And this is what the church is supposed to look like, close relationships. Some of you might know the difference between an acquaintance and a friend. Do you know the difference? I remember growing up as a kid, one of the things my mom always said to me is, if you have five real friends in your life, then you are incredibly rich. And I mean real friends in your life. Now you think about what a friend is. A friend is a person not that you just have a connection and mutual interest with, but you're doing life together with them. You're sharing in the good times. You're sharing in the bad times. Your friend is the one that you know that you can go to, and you can lay everything that's on your heart out to your friend, and your friend is going to hold that in a close confidence, because what they want for you is your good and your blessing. That is what a friend is. When you think of an acquaintance, you don't have as deep of a connection, do you? It's just not there. You have every appearance of kindness to each other. You know, you might pass each other in the hallway or like the atrium out here in the church. You might pass some pleasantries with each other, but you don't really know what's going on in each other's life, and you're certainly not sharing those things with each other. You see the difference between the two? With an acquaintance, you might have pleasantries, but that doesn't mean that you have depth or friendship. Now I want you to think about this spiritually speaking, and I think you can get the connection. Some of us, when it comes to our relationship with Jesus, at best, we're acquaintances. There's not a lot of depth there. There's no interest in digging deeper. There's not any interest in the Lord knowing your heart or you knowing the Lord's heart. But when you pass by in the atrium, you give some pleasantries. And there is a big difference. Because what John is trying to say in 1 John and how we miss Christmas is we become content with the pleasantries and we don't want the deeper. We don't want it. Pleasantries are good enough. He says, with pleasantries, here's the catch. You miss the real fellowship. You miss it. Fellowship, what is that? It's a relationship of love and trust. When you think about it, it is love and trust that is precious. I mean, it is precious. And when you have it, it is life-changing. And John knew that there were some that only appeared to have fellowship with God, when in fact they didn't. We know this from 1 John chapter 2, verse 9. Look at what he says. He says, they went out from us, but they didn't really belong to us. These were people that, so to speak, might have been around, but when things got really difficult, they said, this is not the way I want to go. And off they went. And here's what John says. They never really belonged to begin with. Sometimes the fire of life is what tests what's truly in us, isn't it? And John says it's what separated, so to speak, the wheat from the tares. Those that gave the appearance of a relationship when there wasn't one. And then life happened and they said, I'm out. I'm out. You know who they were to Jesus? They were an acquaintance. Happy to share pleasantries, but I don't want to do your life. Now, what we know about Jesus is Jesus was calling us to a completely different way of life, right? He was calling us to a completely different way of life. So how do we get there? Here's the first thing. In order to have deep fellowship with Jesus, you have to know some things about God. You got to know some stuff about God. You have to. Wouldn't it be weird for me to say, you know, I have a deep fellowship with my wife. I don't really know anything about her, but it's a deep fellowship. Would any of you believe that? No, of course you wouldn't. But what John gives us in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 is this. He says, this is the message that we have heard from him and we declare to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. Now, what does light do? Think about it. Right now, light is blinding me from seeing your faces. That's one of the things light can do. But light is a revealer. It exposes things. It exposes things. A couple of weeks ago, I got to go home and visit with my mom and dad for a little bit. It had been a while because of COVID that I'd been able to be around them. And so I went hunting with my dad. And so we go out to the woods and he went one way, I went another way. Gets about 5:35 in the evening and I hear a shot go off and I'm like, okay, that was him, right? However, where I'm sitting from, and it was really heavily wooded where I was at, I can hear things walking behind me. Now you're kind of in a quandary, right? You're like, all right, I can go help him or I can stick around and see what's gonna be coming down my way. Well, what I did was, selfish son that I am, as I stayed where I was at, right? Because I was pretty sure that something was coming down my way. And so I sit there. And you can hear it walking all around you. I'm like, come on, get in front of me. By the way, never got in front of me, right? I mean, they were just shifty that day. So I'm sitting there in the woods, and the next thing I know, it's not like dusk. It's pitch black out there, right? But no big deal, because I actually had a seat, and inside the seat, you have this little bag, and you can throw stuff in there, right? Just kind of, you know, whether it's a flashlight or whatever. So I open the thing up, and I reach in to grab my flashlight so that I can get out of the woods, only to realize I didn't bring the flashlight. So now I'm out in the middle of the woods, and it's pitch black. Now, the good news is I had my phone on me. So I'm like, well, I've got my phone. And so I flipped that thing up, and when I turned the light on, all it did was basically make all the trees and everything glow. It did not give me an actual path because it was too weak of a light. So then I realized I have to find my way through the darkness, and I'm going to have to get back out of here. Now, obviously, I'm here, right? So it ends up okay. But do you notice that the effect that the darkness can have? Something that on the front end, I was like, this is not really a threat to me right now at all. The next thing I know, I'm enveloped by it. And I couldn't even stick my hand in front of my face and see anymore. One of the things that light can do is it can reveal. And he gives this word in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. He says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. You know why? It's because we have a common path. We have common values. We have common goals and pursuits. The reason that there is brokenness and disfellowship in a church is because everybody's blazing their own trail. We want things done our way. I want things to go my way. What this is saying is when you walk in the light, you have common goals, you see things as Jesus sees things, and you value the things that Jesus values. Everybody's headed the same way. If we walk in it, it doesn't say if you just see it. It says if you walk in it. If you walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. It brings relationships back together. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sins. Did you notice something here? Did you notice that he didn't say if you're walking in the light that you won't have any sin in your life? He didn't say that. He didn't say that. He says, if you are walking in the light, you will have fellowship. You can be fumbling around in your relationship with Jesus, but still walking with him as you fumble. But fumble forward, right? Fall forward. That's the goal. That's what he's trying to say. If you're walking in the light, you will have fellowship. Here's another way of saying it. Jesus is cleaning you up as you walk in him, because as you walk in the light, the dark parts of your soul are going to be revealed. I cannot tell you how much I would have enjoyed having a good light when I was sitting in the dark of the woods. I would have enjoyed it tremendously. You want to know why? It's because there was a path that I walked to get to where I was hunting. And honestly, it wasn't that difficult of a path. It really wasn't. I mean, I still had to walk it. I just couldn't see it. And so as I'm trying to walk through the dark, because my little phone light is so lame and weak and useless, it just is, I got to walk through trees. I got to walk through thorns, and they got me, right? I get to walk through all of that, but I have somewhat of an idea, kind of where I'm going, hopefully. You see what I'm saying? At one point, a darkness that I could kind of see completely took things over, and it made the work that I had to do just to get out of there that much harder. John is saying, walk with him. Just walk with him. When you walk in the light, bottom line is your eyes are opened to reality. Can I be honest with you though? And I'm speaking for myself as well today. Sometimes I just don't want my eyes open to reality. There are some things that when the light shines on it, I don't like it about myself. But can I say this? It's better to walk in light and truth than to continue to fumble around in the darkness so that I can continue to believe something about me that isn't even worth believing. The trade is always worth it. C.S. Lewis said this. He said, I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen. Not only because I see it, but because by it, I can see everything else. It's worth it. And so in 1 John 1:9, we get this promise. We get it. He says, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's going to do it. You just got to be honest about it. So when it says, if we confess it, it means we name it. And not just that we name it, it means that we agree with God about what it is. We call it what it is. If you see the sin and you address it as sin, he forgives it. That's the exchange. So C.S. Lewis goes on to say, he says, look, the Christian doesn't think that God will love us because we're good, but that God will make us good because he loves us. That's the exchange. And this is the result. And you see it in 1 John chapter 2, verses 4 through 6. Whoever says, I know him, but doesn't do what he commands, is a liar. And the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. And this is how we know we're in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus lived. It's a different path, isn't it? It's a different walk. It's a different walk. So to say I know him, but you don't follow him, you can't claim both. You don't. You might know about him, but you don't know him. And if you're not following him, here's what he says. You're not in fellowship with him. But if you love God, if you trust his word, the result is you become complete. In other words, you become matured. You become more than you were before by following him. And your relationship then can go to the next level. And it's all through obedience. All of it is through obedience. Here's another way of saying it. You might be saved by God's favor and his grace that you didn't deserve. All that you did was put your faith and your confidence in him, that what he said he was doing for you is true. That's one thing. It's a completely different thing in your obedience to express your loyalty to him for the rest of your life. And that's a choice that you have to make even today. Who are you loyal to? Paul describes it like this. He says, before Christ, we were bound to the forces of darkness. And then once you come to Christ, the light, it opens up and a new life is available to you. You know what you have to do every day? Wake up and still choose the path. And so he says, dear friends, I'm not writing you a new command. I'm writing you an old one, which you have heard since the beginning. And the old command is the message that you have heard. I'm writing you a new command, though. Its truth is seen in him and it's seen in you, because the darkness is passing and true light is already shining. It's him. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother or sister, you're still in darkness. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there's nothing in them to make them stumble. What is it that primarily changes? Is love is what changes. It's what changes. St. Augustine once said this. He says, love God and then do what you want. Well, that sounds good, doesn't it? Love God and do what you want. But here's what he means by that. If you really love God, what you want will change. What you want will change. When you think about love, you think about the love of your husband or your wife. You think of the love of a parent for a child. You think of the love for you and your best friend. I want you to think about that. What it means to truly love them is to desire the good for them, is to desire the real good for them. Because love hates what is evil, Paul says, and will delight in what is true. That's why Augustine goes on to say this. It's no advantage to be near the light if your eyes are closed. I mean, what good is that? You got to open them up. And so with C.S. Lewis, he says, so to have faith in Jesus, it means, of course, trying to do all that he says. Trying to do all that he says. There would be no sense in saying you trusted a person if you didn't take their advice. In fact, when you don't take their advice, you're saying, I don't trust your advice. Trying to do all that Jesus says, there's no sense in saying that you trusted a person if you don't take their advice. But if you really handed yourself over to him, it must follow that you're trying to obey him, but trying in a new way. It's a less worried way. Not doing these things in order to be saved, but because he's saved you already. Not hoping to get to heaven as a reward for your actions, but inevitably wanting to act in a certain way because a first faint gleam of heaven is already inside of you. Isn't that great? So here's what you see in 1 John chapter 1. And here's how it is that we don't miss the point of Christmas. It's simply not enough to say, do you have a relationship? Simply not enough. It's that your relationship that starts with Jesus grows into fellowship with Jesus. And then the result is your joy in Jesus is complete. Our joy in Jesus is complete. Again, it begins with full faith and trust. His work on the cross is enough, that we have to see sin for what it is. It's real, and it's not what he wants from us. And here's what Jesus is saying. And now it's time to move on, because I have bigger and better plans for you. It's time to move on. Your obedience, again, is proof of your new loyalty to your new boss. No longer the darkness, but the Lord. I want to give you a few minutes, just where you're at. A few minutes for you to talk to the Lord. We end our services with prayer and praise every week, with prayer and praise. It's a moment where, like 1 John 1:9 says, you can confess some things. Basically, it's saying you name the sin that's in your life. You're calling it what it is. You're putting it at the feet of Jesus with a simple request to forgive me and to change me. And the rest of the promise that we saw in 1 John is he will do that. No questions asked. And there's nothing that can stop him from doing it. Nothing at all. And then the full benefit is this, is that everything's out in the light. That's the beautiful thing of what the light reveals. It's over. It's addressed. It's done. Have you ever had a relationship in your life before where honestly you weren't going to talk with the person because, you know, there was some static there. Maybe some things weren't going very well. You weren't going to talk with them. They weren't talking with you. And the next thing you know, you're miles apart when only months ago you were really close. Have you had an experience like that? I have. And the reason that it got the way that it did is because we weren't willing to come to each other and just call it what it was and to say, look, I'm sorry. Romans chapter 12 tells us this. It tells us to be at peace with everyone insofar as it's up to you. Be at peace with everyone insofar as it is up to you. And I will say this for my human-human relationship. That means that sometimes I just got to own some stuff. I have no control over their reaction, right? They may look at me and say, well, that's not enough. That's all I got. All I got is to say I did it wrong and I'm sorry. That's all I got. That's the way humans often react, in fact. Did you notice the difference in what John was saying here? It isn't the way Jesus reacts. You come to him in humility and honesty and you move forward. It's done. It's done. Folks, that is Christmas.
We hope you have enjoyed the podcast. For more information about our church, visit www.woodridge.org.